as we looked at verses 20 and through 23. And tonight we're going to pick up in verse number 24. In this great chapter, it's a great chapter in the Bible. It's a great chapter for anybody, really. It's a great chapter of encouragement for us in the faithfulness of God. As we've been talking about people that stepped out on faith and accomplished the will of God. And we'll meet some as we go through this Bible that by our world standard, they say shouldn't be here. But by God's standard, it was different. Amen. And we'll meet some of them here along the way. But we left off, we finished talking last week about the parents of Moses, Amram and Jochebed, and their faith to put that little baby in a homemade basket and send it down the Nile River. It would take a lot of faith, wouldn't it? Now we're going to talk about that little baby. That, by the way, if you were here last week, we said that mother would get, you remember, the baby ended back up in Jochebed's hands, at least till it was weaned, which would allow her to instill in that baby till it's probably, 3 years old, the ways of God. She'd train up that child, and he wouldn't forget it, would he? As we'll get evidence of that. If you study the life of Moses, you get evidence of that. He didn't forget what was instilled in him. And I know it had to be, the Bible doesn't say that, but it had to have been instilled in him in that little window of time that Jochebed had while she was nursing little Moses. Because she had to send him back, didn't she? She had to send him back to Egypt. But only after he was weaned, which I'm going to guess might have been 3 years old. Maybe older than that. I don't know. But anyway, she had that window of opportunity. Now, beginning of verse 24, we see Moses here in this great faith chapter. So let's start in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, we see here in verse 24, now, it's telling us that Moses was fully come of age. When he got to that point, I don't know what age that was, but he didn't want anything to do with Pharaoh, did he? For the Bible says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, somewhere, something was instilled in him. Amen. So he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I want us to flip back to Exodus chapter number 2. We read part of this last week, but in Exodus chapter number 2, and just a few verses here concerning this matter here. We'll start reading verse number 11 of Exodus chapter number 2 and read down through just a few verses, about verse 15 or so. If you've studied much about Moses, and of course, everybody's studied about Moses since we was little bitty. We know about Moses. But anyway, verse 11 of chapter 2 of the book of Exodus, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." Now, this is no-no. Amen? I mean, he shouldn't have done that for sure. It's going to get him in trouble. He's going to be found out, isn't he? It's going to get him in trouble. verse 13, And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together and said to him that did the wrong, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And he said, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill us as thou killedst the Egyptian?" Now Moses probably said, "Uh-oh. How did they know about that?" Amen. And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." The Bible tells us to be sure your sin will what? will find you out. Amen. You can't hide things from God. Now, verse 15. Now, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, so in verse 24, we see Moses refusing to be called, by faith, the Bible says, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, verse 25, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, Moses chose to suffer with the people of God. Again, I think it goes back to the instilling of his mother. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He'd rather suffer for a little season with the people of God than to enjoy a short-lived life of sin. Now, by the way, Moses, if he would have stayed in Egypt and stayed there, he was in line to be what? He was lying to be Pharaoh. You see, he would have been on the throne, wouldn't he? Because he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He would have been Pharaoh. But he didn't want that, you see. He didn't need that. He chose rather to suffer. Now, as you study the book of Hebrews, you got to think, why is this writer doing that? And I've said this before, but why is this writer doing, you know, portions of this history? He's trying to get the people, the Hebrews, to think a little bit. To think a little bit. He's trying to drive home to these Hebrew Christians, even though you're suffering, and they were suffering, though you're suffering, hold on a little while, it'll be worth it all. You see, that's what Moses chose. He chose rather to suffer for a season with the people of God. Today, we live in a society when there's suffering going on with the people of God. But it's going to be short-lived. Amen. Now, much of the world is choosing rather to enjoy their sinful life and to enjoy this sinful world, and they are. It's going to be short-lived, you see. Eternity's ahead. And so we have to make a choice in this life. Do I enjoy myself now and then have to spend eternity in hell? Or do I live what would be considered hell right now for us? And by the way, if you're living on this earth and you're saved, this is close to hell you'll ever get. Amen. Because eternity with God awaits. So I would rather choose to suffer now than to suffer then. Amen. And that's what he's trying to drive home to them. And that's the choice that Moses made here. And that's what put him in his faith chapter. Now, verse 26, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, verse 26, he counted the approaches of Christ greater than all the treasures in Egypt, and he could have had them all. He could have had whatever he wanted, you see. But he chose rather to suffer with God and to do the things of God than to have all of these things the world offered. Now, Moses knew some things. Now, I want you to pay attention. There's something very important. I don't know if you caught it in this verse or not. But notice here what it says. Esteeming the reproach of notice something, of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You see, Moses knew of a coming Messiah. Amen? Moses had knowledge of a Messiah. God had given him knowledge beyond that day. He knew of a coming Messiah. I want you to look at something. Go to the book of Deuteronomy. And chapter 18. And just one verse there. Moses knew of a coming Messiah. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. The Bible says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about Christ. He's talking about the coming Messiah that'll come. Many years later, Moses is talking of becoming Messiah. Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter number 3 and verse 20, starting in verse 22. The Bible says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Moses knew of a coming Messiah. Amen. God had given him this knowledge there. Now, verse 27, the Bible says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Now, Moses would leave Egypt two times. The first time Moses would leave Egypt, you see it right here, we just read it. He would leave how? He left in fear. He was scared. He's running. They found out what he had done. And so he fled, the Bible said. He took off in fear. But now, Moses would spend 40 years. We spend 40 years in Egypt. He'll spend 40 years in the backside of the desert, won't he? He'll spend 40 years in education. He'll spend 40 years learning. He'll spend 40 years getting instructions in faith. And then he'll go back to Egypt. And then he'll spend 40 years where? In the wilderness. You see, he'd spend 40 years in a school of faith. You remember Moses' encounter there on the backside of the desert, don't you? With God, he met God there, the burning bush. The next time Moses would leave Egypt, he wouldn't leave it in fear, would he? But he would leave in the Exodus. He would leave in great faith, trusting in God. And in victory, he would, the second time he would leave Egypt, he would leave it totally different. But it only came after many years of education. You know, sometimes it takes some hard luck. Sometimes it takes some a backside of the desert experience to get us to trust God. Amen. A lot of people have had to go through things before they would realize that we can trust God and what he's doing. We have to put faith in him. He would leave in great victory. Now, Exodus chapter 10. In Exodus chapter 10, and verse 28 and 29, you'll get that. Let's read it. Exodus chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. The Bible says, "And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more." Now Moses would see Pharaoh no more. For the next plague that would hit Egypt would be what? The death of the firstborn. And the people would be let go, you see. And they would be turned loose from the land of Egypt. Verse 28, "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." Now, the Passover, they were given specific instructions. for the Passover. That's the death angel was going to pass through, and they were told exactly what to do, wasn't they? Exactly, they put the blood on the doorpost and you know, all the instructions that went with it. You see, God gave them instructions to follow. And when they followed them, guess what happened? Exactly what God said would happen. Amen. Now, by the way, that has not changed today. God has given us instructions. You hold them in your hand. There's an instruction book. That's what this Word of God is. He tells us exactly what we need to do and how we need to do it and what's going to happen if we do it. The problem is, very few people are reading it to know what it is they're supposed to do. You see. But the instructions are clear. And if we'll do them as God says, God is in this book contains great many promises from God. And those promises are for His children, are for those that will listen to Him and have faith in Him. You know, look how many times you have this word by faith in this chapter. You can't do it without faith. It says in verse 6, I think, without faith it's impossible to please God. And so Moses would do it by faith. He would follow exactly what God, and from that point on, Moses would follow exactly what God told him to do. When he builds the tabernacle, he's told exactly how to build it, isn't he? So he goes trusting God. Now, verse 29, you come to another great faith experience for Moses. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians saying to do were drowned. Now, here he comes. Moses comes up to the Red Sea. Now, he's got this mighty sea in front of him, and guess what's behind him? There comes the army, Pharaoh's army, who has let him go, but then he's had second thoughts, and he's not happy with the choice he made, so he's going to go get him. And so he's between a rock and a hard place. And the people, what does the people do? They start praying. They start murmuring. The Baptists. They start grumping, growling. It'd been better we died in Egypt. You brought us out here to bury us. You know, they start throwing accusations and start belittling the man of God. And listen, Moses had some great experiences up to this point. And I believe he stood on that rock and said, "Won't you people hush?" Amen. I don't know if he said it like that or not, but yeah, he said, "Stand still," which to me in West Virginia language is hush. Right? Will you just hush? And let's listen to God a minute. God brought us out here. God will bring us through here. Amen. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And of course, you know what happened. You know what happened. Go to Exodus 14. When you get between a rock and a hard place, you don't give up and start murmuring. Amen. Not if you're a child of God. That's the way the world acts. The world gives up and quits. But God didn't bring him that far to stop, did he? Exodus 14, and we'll just read starting verse 22. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel went," and you know what happens, "and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left." Now, you know, I was thinking about this as I was reading, what kind of experience that would be, you know, to go. Here's the mighty Red Sea, and all of a sudden, they're down in the midst of it. And by the way, the Bible says they're not walking in a mud hole. They're walking on dry ground. It may have been pavement, for all I know, but the Bible says they're walking on dry ground. They wasn't sinking up in the mud. Well, that comes a little bit later. God gave them a dry path. Can you imagine walking through a dry path with a wall of water on this side and a wall of water on this side? Probably a wall of water as big as this church. Can you imagine? Now, you would think you would have no problem trusting God after that. Wouldn't you? They had all kinds of problems. But you would think. But we see that here. It says, "And the wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the cloud and troubled the host of Egyptians. Now, when I read that, this tells me that it must have took them all night and maybe all day, maybe longer than that, to go through that sea. You know, I often wondered, I wonder how long it took them. Oh, yeah, that was in the millions. 2 or 3 million. And, you know, and I don't know how big the Red Sea was. No. So, you know, they no doubt walked all night, maybe all day. Because this verse here says, and it came to pass that in the morning watch. Makes me think they've been walking a long time through the midst of that sea. And verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Now, Moses went by faith, didn't he? Trusting God. I have a feeling that when Moses stood there facing that Red Sea, he didn't have no idea how he was going to get across, did he? He didn't know what God was going to, but I think he had faith that God was going to get him through. You know, God could have miraculously built a bridge across that sea and said, you all walk across the bridge. But he didn't. That's right. Amen. That's it. He didn't make it. You see, there's a difference. Walking by faith, you'll make it. Now, you might have to get in the midst of the sea. Amen. You might have to get in the midst before you make it through. But he'll make a way. And that's where we got to hold on to faith. Sometimes the way looks dark and dreary. He never did tell us it wouldn't, did he? But he did tell us, I'll be with you. I'll go with you. Whatever that way may be. And so it takes faith. Now, we go now to two other folks mentioned here, Joshua and Rahab. Now, verse number 30, the Bible says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, the writer, I want you to notice something here. The writer goes from Moses to Joshua. He goes from the Red Sea experience to the city of Jericho. Now, notice there's no mention here in the book of Hebrews of the wilderness experience. Now, why do you think that is? Well, what you got to remember is the chapter we're in, faith chapter. During the wilderness experience, they didn't have no faith. There was lacking in one thing, faith. That's why you don't find it mentioned in the faith chapter. They had very little faith. They demonstrated very little faith. The children of Israel, you know, they spent a lot of time in the wilderness wondering. Murmuring, complaining, bickering, not much faith there in God. So he goes from the Red Sea experience to Jericho. Now, verse number 30, there's no name mentioned there. You don't see the name Joshua mentioned there, do you? But you can't talk about the walls of Jericho without you talk about Joshua. Because he's the leader. He's the man. He's the man God would speak to. about this experience. Now, what do we know about Joshua? Well, right. Yeah. There you go. See, all the children of Israel died in the wilderness except two men. Who was that? Joshua and Caleb. Remember? They came back with a good report. Well, faith. Well, yeah. Right. You know, no, you couldn't. And that's what the rest were saying. There's no way we can defeat them people over there. And Joshua and Caleb probably knew the same thing, but they were trusting God. They were going on faith that they, by God's help, they could. And so Joshua is one of the two spies that put their trust in God. Joshua was a commander of faith. Joshua was one of those fellows that was with Moses on Mount Sinai. You remember Exodus 24. Exodus 24 and verse number 13. Here, this is the revelation is given on Mount Sinai. And verse 13 says, "And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua. And Moses went up into the mount of God." You see, Joshua was one of those with Moses on Mount Sinai. Joshua submitted to Moses and the authority of Moses. He was chosen, if you remember, by Moses as a soldier leading the Israelite army into battle. You see, he was chosen by God through Moses. And by the way, he would learn a lot of great things from this man called Moses. You see, I think it'd do us well to go back to Exodus chapter 17. And a few verses there we need to read, beginning in verse number 8. And we'll read down through the end of the chapter. Here, submitting to the authority of Moses, Joshua would. And here's what it says. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with a rod of God in my hand." Now, Moses is commissioning him to lead this army into battle. Now, so Joshua did as Moses had said. Now, here's the key to success. We'll see this many times in the Bible. Here it is. "And Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereupon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." Now, let me tell you something. I wrote one word beside this verse right here. What do you see in verse 12? What do you see there? You see unity. You see unity coming together to get the job done. These men held up the hands of Moses, didn't they? He couldn't do it anymore. He had done got wore out. He had done got tired. And so they came along beside him and said, "We'll help you." And let me tell you what, that wins the battle every time. Amen. That'll win the battle every time. Unity, when we decide to hold each other up, we'll win the battle. It's when we say, "I ain't going to help him. I ain't like Moses. I remember when he said this to me." You know, Aaron could have said, "Hey, he's been hateful to me last week. I ain't helping him." You know what happened? They lost that battle. Amen. "I ain't going to help him. He looks crooked at me." Amen. I know people that won't come to church because somebody looked at them different. Or somebody spoke to them different or didn't speak to them. Or preached too long. That's a fact. There's no unity there. Amen. Listen, if we're in this thing together, and sometimes we've got to get a hold of somebody's arm and hold it till the day break. Amen. And so you see unity there coming together. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name it Jehovah-Nish. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So Joshua was a soldier commissioned by Moses to go and lead Israel into battle. He submitted to the authority of Moses. Joshua was chosen to succeed Moses, you know that, in the leading of the children of Israel into the promised land. You know the story, Moses wouldn't be allowed to go into the promised land because of disobedience. God will bury him there. And Joshua will be commissioned to go on and take that army into the promised land. Now, Deuteronomy 31, a couple verses here. Verse 14, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourself in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, if you jump over to verse 23, it says, and he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. So, Joshua was commissioned by God to lead the people. Now, that's not really, I mean, part of it, but that's not really what's put him in the faith chapter. What put him there? You read it. His faith at the walls of Jericho. Now, of course, you know the story of Jericho. And Jericho, now, the people of Jericho has gotten wind of the children of Israel and how God's with them and how they're mightily coming through and defeating these armies. And when you get to Jericho, the city's shut up, isn't it? They can't get in. They can't get out. There's a mighty wall surrounding. God has told them to take that city. And no doubt when they go and they look at those mighty walls around Jericho, no doubt the people are probably saying, how are we going to get in there? We can't tear this wall down. Well, here comes faith. Amen. God has already told Joshua what he is to do. And it is the faith, not only faith, but I'm going to tell you, faith will lead to obedience. It's the faith and the obedience of Joshua that'll bring them walls down. Now, he told him, I have no idea. We were talking about this morning. I have no idea how big a city Jericho was. So I have no idea how long it'd take you to walk around the walls of Jericho. Yeah. So it was a mighty wall. But I wonder how far around it was. That's right. But I can imagine it probably took a little while to walk around the wall. Might even took a whole day. And he's told Joshua, you walk once a day for 6 days. Now, what if it took all day to walk around that wall? Might have. Might have took him 12 hours. I don't know. But I know what, let's go quickly here to Joshua chapter number 6. Let's just read here what was said, and we'll finish with Joshua tonight. But Joshua chapter number 6, and let's read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll read verse 20 and 21. Now Jericho was straitly, and that means securely, shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho. Now, see, right here's the key. The Lord has told him, this is yours. Now, when God tells you something, you ought to take it to the bank. God's told Joshua, I've given you the city. Here's what you've got to do.
He's already been a student of God's faith.
Right. Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's right. He's
come.
That's right.
He's come along to get to this level where he
yeah. That's right. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given to thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns, and the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Now if you go over to verse 20 and 21, so the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. You see, faith brings obedience. Do we have the faith tonight to obey God? Do we have the faith tonight to trust what God has said? You've got to remember, these great people of faith didn't have what me and you have, this Word of God. They did not know the outcome of these things. It took great faith. Today, I don't know how long it took them to go around Jericho, but if it might have took them 5 or 6 hours. Might have took them 30 minutes, I don't know. But can you imagine today getting up a group of Baptists, group of people, and say, we got to walk around Princeton today. God has said, walk. If we want to get this city, we got to walk around it. Well, there'd be so much murmuring going on. Well, amen. Huh? Yeah. You mean I got to walk around this thing? I'm tired. My feet hurts. My back hurts. Joshua probably said, I don't know. I know that's what God said. Amen. And then when you've done it 6 times and you really got blisters all over your feet and your back's sore, and he says, now we got to do it 7 times a day. Well, what I'm getting at would take great faith. Amen. To do what God said to do. And it's no different for us today. God gives us things to do. He gives, and we must stand on the faith that God can do the impossible. And that's exactly what he did there with Jericho. They couldn't have done it, but God could, and he did. And he's the same God today. You know, I've been studying Ecclesiastes, and that's what Solomon's talking about. You know, God's the same. But people, you know, and I'm going to preach Sunday night from Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to preach on boredom. People are bored, you know. You know why the highways are so full? You know why the airplanes are so full? People are looking for something new. Something new to different to do. And there's nothing. It's all the same. Amen. They're never satisfied with what they've just done. That's what Solomon talks about in Ecclesiastes. If this is all you're looking at, you're in misery. You know why? Because he lived there, didn't he? Any questions or comments, we'll pick up on Rahab. And we'll see Rahab's existence in the book of faith. And by the way, Rahab's a harlot. It would be some people, if we look at it from a world standard, say, what in the world is she doing in there? But hey, God's grace is sufficient. And we'll talk some about Rahab.